Welcome to NHL Draft Class presented by Adidas. I'm Adam Kimmelman here with Mike Morial.
What's going on, Adam? I had my white chocolate mocha this morning. In addition to that, I had straight black milk sugar. Hey, all gung-ho here. We are so excited. It's the end of the draft, but now we have all these top prospects to look forward to.
Well, I'm glad you're all coffeed up and caffeined up and ready to go. So we're going to go team by team, just analyze who did what we thought of each team's pick. And let's start right at the top, number one, the New Jersey Devils. Mike, you were there for the whole big Jack Hughes of it all, the introduction. He's going to wear number 86. There's not a whole lot more that we haven't said about Jack Hughes.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew that Jack Hughes was going to be the number one pick in this draft, and the New Jersey Devils went up there. Marty Brodeur, hockey legend, hockey Hall of Fame goaltender for the Devils, made the pick of Jack Hughes. It was real exciting for him to see that. He said he was really jacked up to see Marty make that pick. And when he came to speak with us afterwards, you can tell just the excitement, the elation, how he wants to get his career started with the Devils. And then I got to see him at his press conference the other day. And, you know, for an 18-year-old kid, Adam, it's unbelievable. And Corey Schneider gave me a good antidote. I asked Corey about the poise and composure of Jack Hughes. And he said, you know what? He said, when I was an 18-year-old kid, the only thing I was thinking of was asking my brother for a fake ID because I was headed to Boston College at the time. And Jack Hughes, here's Jack Hughes. I mean, he just has that demeanor about him that just screams NHL.
Yeah, I wouldn't work with Jack's older brother.
No.
Not quite yet. But yeah, you're right. There's that calm, that poise, that you know, he's got that it factor. It's going to help him. So let's move on. Number two, New York Rangers, Kaapo Kakko. You know, obviously it was a fait accompli. We knew who was going to go number one. We knew who was going to go number two.
Kakko right now is probably, and I think you would agree, Adam, he's probably the most NHL ready at this particular moment. And I think he's going to do wonders for the Rangers in a top six role for that club. I feel as though Kakko, despite the fact he didn't go to the combine, a lot of teams didn't maybe get to meet him, he was able to, you know, give himself a nice representation at the World Championship, what he was able to do there. And I think the Rangers, it was a no-brainer. I mean, you take Kaapo at number two and you just go with it.
And obviously Ranger fans were happy. I don't know if people saw the video when he landed in Newark Airport. There was a nice contingent of Rangers fans chanting and waiting to meet him. So that was neat to see. So you know the fan base is on board. Number three. That's where all the intrigue started. Who was going to go number three? Nobody knew until Stan Bowman went up there and read off Kirby Dach from the Saskatoon Blades. Now, you know, we sat here and we thought it could be Turcotte, it could be Cousins, it could be Byram, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Kirby Dach, big, strong, skates well. Is he a guy that you can envision jumping right into the NHL next season?
I do think that he needs some more seasoning in Major Junior. Obviously, he's got that size, and you saw that when the three were together, right? Usually, they get the top three picks together. You have Jack Hughes, you got Kaapo, and you had Kirby Dach there. But all along, you had that suspicion that the Blackhawks were going to take a big power forward. We were thinking Alex Turcotte, as you said. I mean, Kirby Dach is that type of player, I think, that in the future, maybe 2-3 years down the road, is going to fill a need for that lineup, maybe second-line center. Hey, he could begin his NHL career on wing. There's a possibility there, too. I mean, we've seen it before. Not all the centermen that were drafted as centermen at this draft are going to be centers. They could be wings. But I think Kirby Dach, one more year at him, in my opinion, in Major Junior in the WHL, and I think he'll be ready.
Yeah, and I also liked Alex Vlasic, the second-round pick that they took from the U.S. national team program. 6'6" defenseman who skate that well. They don't grow on trees. So I like what they did there. But then we moved to number four, Colorado Avalanche. And this is, we all kind of thought they would be looking forward. They would be looking, you know, they have a couple of young defensemen coming up. But they go Bowen Byram with their first-round pick. Inarguably the best defenseman available in the draft, MVP of the Western League playoffs. He's a guy you slot him in now with Cale Makar, Tyson Barrie, who's already there, Connor Timmins, high pick from a couple of years ago. Looks like he's ready. It's a pretty nice future top four they've got there.
In my opinion, Adam, I mean, Colorado, yeah, they lost out on the number one pick, but they had eight selections in this draft, and I thought they did really, really well. They got Bowen Byram at that number four slot, and then they also got Alex Newhook at number 16. I mean, Byram does everything well, makes that elite first pass. great vision, likes to get up in the rush, doesn't get caught up ice very often. And Newhook, I mean, a lot of comparisons, and of course, Colorado got him at number 16. The comparisons have been to Jake Guentzel. This is a player, he's dynamic offensive player, and I know you spoke to him at the combine. You did that great story on him leading up to the draft. Real elusive skater, great edges, turns quickly, makes plays at that top speed. So I really like the top two picks, and Newhook is going to Boston College next year. And then I even like their second-round pick, Drew Hellison from the National Team Development Program. Right-handed D, Adam, goes about 6'3", 193 pounds. In my opinion, and Coach John Robleski even said it, this is a guy that is kind of a jack-of-all-trades. You know, he has a little bit of an edge, a little bit of meanness in his games, hard to play against. He's a great penalty killer on the ice. So overall, I thought the Colorado Avalanche really did a nice job here, despite the fact they lost out on that number one overall pick.
And you're right, that Newhook story was very well written. Thank you. But I think with Newhook, I think what you have is, here's a guy who grew up in St. John's, Newfoundland, moved to middle of Ontario, then he goes all the way out west to Victoria, British Columbia at 16. He had to learn how to do everything on his own. Obviously, he had a billet family that would help him. But there is some poise and some maturity there that you don't have with the average 18-year-old kid. So, yeah, I do. I agree with you. I like everything that Colorado did, and they had an opportunity to really improve themselves with those two picks. I think in the first round, I think they really took advantage of it. Now, at number five, the LA Kings, Alex Turcotte was their first choice. Again, he's a guy who we thought could go anywhere in that 3-6, 3-7 range. They need help through the middle. They need to get younger. They need to get more skilled, more dynamic. And Alex Turcotte's the guy. And we mentioned John Robleski from the National Team Development Program, the coach before. He told me that, you know, going back to what Tyler Toffoli said when Kings had their clear out day, that they need better practice habits. He said Alex Turcotte is a guy who will dominate in practice. He will push the pace in practice at every opportunity. If you're looking to build your team that way, if you're looking to get, you know, we say it, like I say it to my son all the time as a baseball player, you practice like you play and you play like you practice. So if you believe that, if you're the LA Kings, you believe you will play like you practice. Alex Turcotte is a guy who will get your practice habits better. And if it carries over into the games, he will make your team better.
Another team that I thought, you know, hit some home runs in this draft. And you mentioned, you spoke right there about Alex Turcotte. Fantastic choice at number five overall. I thought their second first-round pick at number 22, Tobias Bornfoot, 6 foot, 202 pounds, a left-handed D, solid all-around defenseman, not many weaknesses in his game, real good skater. He's physically strong and used in a lot of different situations. So I think two, three years down the road, maybe he'll make a push to you know, hit the lineup there with the Kings. Arthur Kaliev, second round, number 33 overall. This is a guy that we all thought was the second best natural goal scorer after Cole Caulfield in the draft. And I thought that was a great pick for the Kings to get him that late in the second round. And then another second rounder, number 50 overall, Samuel Fagamo. 6 foot, 194 pounds, played in the Swedish Hockey League last year with Frölunda. People may recall Frölunda is where Rasmus Dahlin played his hockey, in junior hockey. And he's one of the most improved players in Sweden this year, Sam. You know, I spoke to him at the combine. He really likes the way he improved his skating this year. Excellent acceleration from what the scouts have told me. Creates offense on his feet, can score and set up teammates. I love that pick. And then in the fourth round, number 95 overall, you get Jordan Spence, a real good defenseman. He's an interesting kid, was overlooked in the Q draft, but just kept defying the odds, and then he was able to get picked in the fourth round this year. Good puck mover, great hockey IQ, and he's going to go places. I think, you know, after a few years of major junior, maybe Jordan Spence can compete maybe for a roster spot with the Kings. But 9 picks by the Kings in this draft. I thought it was an excellent draft for the Kings.
And Jordan Spence has a real cool story. Born in Australia, raised in Japan where he learned to play hockey, moved to PEI at 13, spoke no English. So to go from that to becoming, you know, a guy who has, you know, he's one step from the NHL at this point. So it's pretty good growth for him. Shows, you know, certain level of intelligence and maturity there. As we move ahead now, number 6, this is where the big
Detroit
surprise happened. The Detroit Red Wings made, I don't want to call it a shocker. I think he was a guy that we thought could go 10 to 15. 6 was probably high. But look, Marius Seider, the defenseman from Mannheim in Germany, elite skills. maybe the biggest upside of any player in this draft. You know, I had him in my mock draft at number 11. I thought maybe that was a bit high, but he was a guy with a lot of talent. You watch him, he was a rookie of the year against men in the German league. He had a great tournament at the World Championship, scored 2 goals, 6'3", 200 plus pound, right-handed, skates well. He's a guy that has the look of a potential future top pair defenseman. Would I have taken him the number 6 pick? Maybe not. I know Steve Yzerman tried to trade down, tried to, you know, pick him lower, maybe more commensurate with where expectations were for him. But look, they liked the player. They couldn't trade down. They couldn't find anything that worked. So you like the player, you take him. And if he's number 6, so be it. You just hope that he's able to put the development together, continue on the path that he's on. I like the player. I don't know if I like where they took him, but I really, really like the player.
I mean, it was an interesting pick. And, you know, I always like to tell the stories of those players that are sitting in the stands, right, Adam? The cameras pan over to them after they're chosen, and you get that elation as you saw in a Jack Hughes.
Sider's a little different.
Where he's hugging the parents, the smile, hand slapping, fist pumping with his brothers. And then number 6, when Stevie goes up there and selects Morris Sider, the camera pans over, and he's almost in shock. Right?
He was in shock.
He was like, whoa, this is incredible. Did he just call my name?
Yeah, he said to me afterwards, I said, you know, how surprised were you? He goes, did you see the look on my face when they called my name? He goes, I was stunned. He said everything he's read, because, you know, he saw the mock drafts. He said, everything I saw said I was going to go between 10 and 20. I didn't expect to be number 6,
yeah.
But he's ecstatic. And look, I think he's going to do well there. I also like the pick they made in the second round, Robert Mastrosimoni.
Yep.
Just a really good high-end offensive player.
Mastrosimoni probably could have been a first-round pick. Instead, the Red Wings get him in the second round here. Goal scoring is something their system really needs, and I think Mastrosimoni sometime down the road will be able to provide that for them. We talked about Sider. Maybe he was drafted too high with a 6th pick, but let's face it. I mean, they needed D. At least Stevie Wythe, you know, thinks that they need that D, and if this is your guy, you know you're not going to get him any later than that. So why not make the pick? And, you know, I do like what the Red Wings were able to do. And they also selected Ethan Phillips, a player who is in the United States Hockey League this year. And Ethan Phillips, as you recall, was the billet brother for Philip Zadina and Nico Hischier. Both those players played for Halifax in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. Philip Zadina, of course, is property of the Detroit Red Wings, so wouldn't it be interesting to one day see Ethan Phillips and Zadina on the same line after Zadina has shown him everything he knows as a billet brother?
Yeah, that would be neat to see. Just it just shows you how small that the hockey world is and how everybody's connected. You might not even realize it. It's just a neat little thing that happens.
Yeah.
So moving ahead, number 7, Buffalo Sabres, Dylan Cousins. Obviously, they needed help through the middle. Jack Eichel is entrenched as your number 1 center, but Casey Mittelstadt had a decent season number as a rookie, looked a little overmatched at times. So you still want to get bigger, stronger, talented through the middle. Dylan Cousins is a pretty good place to be.
I love the pick of Dylan Cousins. I know there was talk of maybe Cole Caulfield going to the Sabres with that pick. But, you know, Dylan Cousins is that big centerman, another big centerman that the Sabres can bring into their system. Real fast on his skates. I mean, he can drive the cage. He can curl defensemen. He showed a lot of that with Lethbridge in the dub this year, what he was able to do. I think another year, 2 years in Major Junior will bode Dylan Cousins well. I think he'll be a leader in Lethbridge next year, maybe even a captain, because he's served as captain for several teams that he's played for. In the past, but I really like what Buffalo did in this draft. I even like their second round, actually their second pick in the first round, number 31 overall, Ryan Johnson, the left-handed D. Outstanding skater. His acceleration is great. You know, he's almost at an elite level right now. I think that was a real good pick as a second choice in the first round. But then moving on, Adam, we get to the Edmonton Oilers at the number 8 overall pick, and, you know, they went with Philip Roberg. And I know you did the comparison piece between Victor Soderstrom and Philip Broberg, the two defensemen that were in the Swedish Hockey League this year. Broberg, the scouts really liked they were talking anonymously, but they really liked what Broberg had to offer. And a lot of them said that Broberg was probably a little bit ahead of Soderstrom at this point, and they see a lot more of a solid projection for him down the road.
Everyone I spoke to raved about Philip Broberg's skating ability. One scout told me four-way skating. Forwards, backwards, lateral left, lateral right. All top-notch, top-shelf, elite level. The way he accelerates out of turns, elite level. He needs to get stronger physically, but he's got so much upside if he can get there. That's what the scouts really like. And then I like what they did, what the Oilers did in the second round with Raphael Lavoie. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that we thought could go in the first round. He's got that classic power forward build. I don't know if he's a center in the NHL. I think he's probably more going to gravitate to the wing. But look, 20 goals in 23 games in the Quebec League playoffs, had a really nice showing at the Memorial Cup. He's a guy that I think can add some offense to them in short order. He certainly got the size. He's got NHL size. The skating needs to get a little bit better. But look, I think he has the potential to be a really nice player. And to get him in the second round is that's a pretty good get.
I actually think that the drafting of the goaltender they took, their third round pick, number 85, Ilya Konovalov. He turns 21 in July. And this is a kid, Adam, that played in the Continental Hockey League all season and really excelled. I mean, his stats are unreal for playing all season in the KHL. 45 games, a 1.86 goals against, and a 0.93 save percentage in the KHL. So this is a kid at 21 that seems like maybe Edmonton got a little bit of a steal here where they got him in the draft.
And then, as we know with the Russian players, it's just a matter of, well, and really it applies to all European players. When do they want to come over? He's 21. Can he come over and play in the American League right now? Obviously, Edmonton use a good goalie to add to their development system. So we'll see where he ends up. Moving ahead to number 9, Trevor Zegras was the Ducks' first pick. You know, and again, I talked to John Robleski. You look at what they have, especially on the right side in Anaheim. You add in a left-handed centerman in Trevor Zegras with his swagger, his creativity, his offensive presence. There's some good building blocks right there.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll be going to play for Boston University next year. I mean, we're big fans of Trevor Zegras, right? He seems to scale the lineup. He can play wing. He can play center. He actually at times centered Cole Caulfield for the NTDP this year and excelled in that role. Look, the Anaheim Ducks had 7 picks. I really like 3 of the picks they had here. I think it was a good draft for the Ducks. In addition to Zegras with that number 9 pick overall, their second pick in the first round, number 29, Braden Tracy of Moose Jaw. Like him a lot, Adam. You know, he worked his way up the lineup for the Warriors this year, showed he can play with top guys, real good offensive player, real slippery type guy, good hockey IQ, goes to those open spaces, is very smart. And I also like their fourth round pick, number 101 overall, Henry Thrawn, the defenseman from the NTDP, 6'2", 188 pounds. He's a guy you can put anywhere. You know, he was used on his offside all season in the NTDP. He's deceptively fast, a competitor, a percentage guy, is really smart and doesn't have a lot of holes in his game. So I do like what the Ducks did in this draft. And let's face it, getting Trevor Zegras at number 9 overall is certainly a feather. Zegras is a player that I think, Adam, could be in the NHL in 2 years.
Absolutely, and the Ducks are going to need help through the middle. You know, Ryan Getzlaff is 34. Ryan Kessler's future is a giant question mark. They need to get young. They've done a nice job building up on the wings. When you look at, you know, Max Comtois and Sam Steele and Max Jones, Isaac Lindstrom probably going to end up on the wing, maybe the middle, but Zegras, I think, is a guy who can really help them as a big building block going forward.
And then we have number 10, the Vancouver Canucks, and we were all waiting for when Vasily Podkolzin was going to go in this draft, and there he is for the Vancouver Canucks. To me, Adam, this was a no-brainer to take Podkolzin.
Do you remember who had the Canucks taking, who the Canucks were going to take in their mock draft?
Here we go. Maybe our producer, Bob Bendrick, can eliminate
I believe that was me, but we'll move on from that. Yeah. However, regardless of who the smartest guy in the room is, I don't know if he's going to be a dynamic 50-goal scorer, but everyone I've talked to about him, they love the 200-foot game, they love the leadership abilities, and his counting stats maybe weren't all that great, but he played on 6 different teams in 3 tournaments on multiple continents. at the World Under-18s, he just ran out of gas. You go back and you watch what he did the beginning of the season when he was fresh at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup in Edmonton in August. 11 points, 8 goals in 6 games. I think that's probably more commensurate to what you're going to get from him. And look, he's got a 2-year contract with St. Petersburg in the Continental League. You're going to have a little patience with him. But I think if I'm the Vancouver Canucks 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when he's ready to come over, you're getting a guy who you can plug right into a top 6 role.
No doubt about it. I thought it was a great pick. I mean, you were just kind of waiting on pins and needles when someone might take the stab at him. And let's face it, I mean, you know, I heard rumors, GM Jim Benning was kind of talking to his scouts about, all right, so we got the number 10 pick. Tell me the amount of players that will actually be able to play in the NHL in 1 year or maybe 2 or 3 years. So when you consider that, and when you read and you watch Vasily Podkolzin all season long, yes, this player is going to play in the KHL the next 2 years, but a lot of the other players that would have been drafted in this spot anyway, Adam, two years. They need more developing, more maturing. So in the case of Vasily Podkolzin, taking him here, it's no risk, a no-brain decision in my opinion. And I also liked their second pick in this draft, number 40 overall. They were able to grab Nils Höglander from Sweden, someone that I actually had going late in the first round. So I thought the Canucks were really smart to pick him up here at this point in the second round. Stats really didn't jump out at you this year, but he's a very effective player who's shown hints of high-end skill. I think another 2 years in the Swedish Hockey League would bode well, for Höglander in his development. And I think overall the Canucks did a real nice job here, particularly with that pick of Podkolzin. But the Arizona Coyotes, number 11 overall, they take the other big Swedish defenseman and Victor Soderstrom.
And they moved up to get him. The first trade of the day was they swapped, Arizona swapped spots with the Flyers. Moved back, Philadelphia moved back to 14, got a second-round draft pick. Arizona jumps up to 11. They take Soderstrom. Cerebral, smart, skilled. What you see as a 17, 18-year-old in the Swedish Hockey League against men is probably what you're going to get in the NHL. He's going to develop the offensive game. You know, you saw it more when he played with players his own age, and he was able to be a little bit more aggressive with the puck. But that's going to come with age and time. And the player I really liked that they got was their third-round pick, John Farinacci. From the Dexter School in Massachusetts, leader, smart kid. He's going to Harvard. Had a rough knee injury where he missed a bunch of time, so the counting stats maybe aren't as good as they could be. He was a dominant player when he was healthy in that prep level. He would have gotten more time with the U.S. national team. He would have gotten more time in the USHL. But smart, skates well, offensively gifted. I like that pick, and to get him in the third round is pretty good.
Well, just going back to Soderstrom real quick, I think, and Goran Stube told us this early in the season when he was on with us, NHL draft class, he's close to being NHL ready, and I think he has the potential, Adam, to be a top four defenseman, no doubt, in the NHL one day. So I thought the Coyotes made a real nice pick here, taking Soderstrom at number 11.
We go to the Minnesota Wild next, and this is where we started a run of national team players, and they were the highlight of the first round, but Matthew Boldy at number 12 to the Minnesota Wild. I like that pick. They need offense, they need goal scoring, they need a little bit of young talent in the system that's going to be close to NHL ready. And Boldy's a power forward, he's got that build, he's going to go to college for at least 1 year, but he's a guy I could see, you know, if he has a real good showing that we kind of think he's going to have when he gets to college, there's nothing that says 2 seasons from now he can't be in a top 9, top 6 role for the Wild.
No doubt. You know, he's a good-sized player, 6'2", 196, a do-it-all type of guy, can finish when the puck is on his stick. He releases it so quickly. He can score off the rush or off the cycle. And again, I thought the Minnesota Wild did a nice job at the 2019 draft, Adam. They had 8 picks. You know, looking at the list and taking notes, I thought there were several picks that, you know, were value picks. In the second round at number 42, Vlad Fristov from Waterloo, a left wing, 6'1", 181 pounds. He has that good offensive instincts, great vision inside the offensive zone. Their second round pick, number 59 overall, Hunter Jones, the goaltender from Peterborough, 6'4", 202. What are they feeding these guys in Peterborough, Adam? Jones had a phenomenal first half. He saw a lot of rubber. As a first-year starter, you know, showed great focus, concentration. He was really quick. I know the goalie guru for NHL Central Scouting, Al Jensen, really liked Jones a lot, likes his upside. He's a guy that can make that big save for you in critical moments. And I also liked in the third round to get Adam Beckman from Spokane, the left wing, 6'1", 168 pounds. He's fast, good speed, quickness, a real opportunist. He'll capitalize when he's in tight, close to the net. And then in the sixth round, Marshall Warren.
Surprising, very surprising that Marshall Warren was still available in the sixth round.
Didn't understand that. You know, Marshall, and you know, I was actually texting with NTDB coach John Robleski as the draft was going on and on. I'm like, what's the deal with Marshall? How come he's not going? He's like, I can't tell you. I don't understand it. But this, he's going to Boston College. He was an alternate captain for the USA at the U18, you know, World Championship. He was one of the best leaders of this draft class. So for Minnesota to get him in the sixth round, number 166 overall, man, that's pretty good.
That was good. That's going to be, I think that's one of those, we talk about value picks. I think that's going to be a pick that I think Minnesota is going to find a lot of value in. But moving ahead, number 13, this was, you know, we talk about one and two as being no-brainers, at least from where we stood. Spencer Knight at number 13, the number one goalie to the Florida Panthers, a team that desperately needed young goaltenders. It seemed like player and pick and team just sort of fit together in a really perfect way. Knight, there's no question he was the best goalie in the draft. He's mature, athletic, positionally solid. It was, you know, as much as Jack Hughes at number one to the Devils was a no-brainer, I think Spencer Knight was as much a no-brainer at 13 to Florida.
Generational goalie, right, Adam? I mean, this is a kid that I think everyone expects to maybe be in the NHL maybe as soon as 2-3 years. You watch the development of Carter Hart for the Flyers and what he was able to do in Everett and then coming up through their AHL affiliate. And now, potentially, we would expect Hart to be a starter for the Flyers next season. I can see a similar path being taken here by Spencer Knight, where he plays a year, maybe 2 years of college hockey at BC. But, you know, I think he's going to be a star, not only in college, but once he reaches the professional level. Just his demeanor. You know, we've talked to a lot of scouts that really like the way he goes about his business in the game. He just has that frame about him that, you know, screams, you know, NHL star at some point. And actually, I thought it was a fantastic pick by Florida. I know some people feel you don't draft a goalie early, but in the case of Spencer Knight, I think you can make that exception.
Yeah, you make that exception because he is going to be exceptional. Then number 14, the Philadelphia Flyers with the pick that they slid back to get from Arizona. Cameron York, the defenseman from the national team program. You know, Philly needed defensemen. They have some holes in their prospect pipeline. All their good young defensemen, Travis Sanheim, Ivan Provorov, Robert Haig, Phil Myers, they're all almost, if they're not already established NHL guys, they are going to be established NHL guys very soon. Need to fill in behind them. Cam York is a guy, maturity, you know, talking to people. His mental toughness. Philadelphia is not an easy market to play in. The fans there are very fickle. They want to see immediate results. And if you're not going to give them immediate results, they're going to let you know about it. Cam York is a player with the mental strength that if the fans are going to get on him, it's going to roll off his back. It's not going to bother him. So he's going to go to college. He's going to go to University of Michigan. 2 years there, I think he'll be ready to step into a prime spot in Philadelphia. He is a two-way defenseman with a growing defensive game. All the offensive numbers that we saw, he obviously knows how to play that game, but he is determined to prove to people that he can be a two-way defensive defenseman. I think he's going to get there. I don't have any doubt that he's going to be a reliable guy in all three zones.
Yeah, and I also like the Flyers' second-round pick at number 34. And the interesting thing about the number 34 pick was that was the pick that the Devils traded to Nashville to get P.K. Subban, and then Nashville traded the pick to the Flyers. And here they get Bobby Brink from the USHL. Sioux City, great season, second on the team in points with 68 this year. Good right-handed shot, right wing. I thought it was a fantastic pick. I know he's a little undersized, but Bobby Brink has great hockey IQ. He's exceptional down low and maneuvering with the puck and finding open teammates. And, of course, we all know that this is a player that when the chips may be down, he wants to be in there fighting with his teammates because when his USHL season ended, of course, he came down with the flu, but USA Hockey invited him to the under-18s in Sweden. He still flew over there despite the sickness and got to the airport, was driven to the rink, and played less than 2 hours later. He finished with 6 points in the tournament to help the United States medal in that tournament. So Bobby Brink, I thought, was a great pick by the Flyers.
Yeah, I do. And I also like Ronnie Attard, the player, the defenseman they took in the third round. Big, strong kid. Had been passed over in the draft twice before. So he's 20. There's a certain maturity there. He's going to Western Michigan, where one of his teammates will be Matthias Samuelson, Buffalo Sabres prospect. Matthias' father, Shel Samuelson, the director of prospect development for the Flyers. So it'll be easy for Shel to get in there and see him, give Ronnie Attard all the attention that he needs. But just big, strong, skates well, maturity. I think it won't be too long before he's ready to jump right into the NHL.
And then we get to number 15. And finally, Adam, Cole Caulfield, the best natural scorer of this draft class, 5'7". I know we got the size thing, and that's probably why he dipped in this draft a little bit. But Cole Caulfield, to me, was a no-brain pick. I thought it was a great pick by the Canadiens. He's going to provide scoring depth in however many years he stays at the University of Wisconsin. I think maybe 2-3 years for Cole Caulfield, but he's an exceptional talent. I think he's part of the Montreal Canadiens roster. I think he's going to excite the fans there for sure.
Yeah, it's not that I expected to see Mark Bergevin do cartwheels up to the stage, but I wouldn't have been surprised if he did, knowing that Cole Caulfield's sitting there. But I'll tell you what, the two happiest guys are Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Ryan Poehling, because they look at what you're getting with Cole Caulfield to put on the wing. I mean, look, yes, Jack Hughes made him better, but that works both ways. That's a two-way street. Jack Hughes had a lot of points because he had Cole Caulfield putting in all those goals. So there's nothing that says he can't have that same level of impact, whether it's Kotkaniemi, whether it's Poehling, whenever he gets to the NHL. I like Cole Caulfield. I really think that was a smart, smart pick.
Rhett Picklett, their fifth-round pick, I thought was a great pick as well. A little undersized like Caulfield, but just like him, the sky's the limit with the offensive upside. He left a good impression in some of the video that I watched him with, and I know a lot of the scouts like Picklett, and to get him here where they did in the fifth round, I thought was great for Montreal. So I think the fact that they were able to draft and have a player of Cole Caulfield's stature at number 15 makes Montreal a big winner in this draft.
Absolutely. So number 16 we discussed, Alex Newhook. 17, the Vegas Golden Knights. Peyton Krebs, a player who got a little bit maybe forgotten about because he had the Achilles injury. He had surgery in June. I talked to him at the draft. He said his rehabilitation is coming along. 6 to 8 weeks he hopes to be back on the ice. So he'll be just starting to skate again once training camp starts. Obviously, the NHL will not be an option for him this season. He'll go back to Winnipeg, where the Kootenay Ice have moved. He'll most likely be a leader there, be a captain there. He was a captain there last season. He's a guy, once he gets healthy, he'll get back to being the skilled, offensively talented player that he was. You know, skating is his forte. If I'm the Vegas Golden Knights, he's a guy you just kind of let go back to Winnipeg, keep an eye on how his conditioning is, keep an eye on how his healing's going, and you just let him develop, because you know you're going to get a really, really nice player 2-3 years down the line.
And Vegas has had good drafts in the past, Adam, and you know, in the few years they've been in the league already, and this year was no exception. You know, Kaden Kurzak, the right-handed D from Kelowna in the Western Hockey League, had 33 points this year, a second-round pick, number 41 overall. Isaiah Seville, the goaltender, right, in the fifth round, number 135, played with Tri-City in the United States Hockey League this year. Really good numbers that he posted. And that's a tough league. I know a lot of people know that, but the United States Hockey League, when you're able to put up a 189 goals against and a 925 save percentage, that's saying something. And Isaiah Seville at number 135, another good value pick there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like Isaiah Seville, you know, guy who's going to go from Alaska to Las Vegas. That'll be interesting. He's an Anchorage, Alaska native. That'll be interesting little thing how that works out for him.
And then number 18, the Dallas Stars. Thomas Harley, I think another pick that I think people really like, because Harley is one of those offensive-minded defensemen. Eventually, he'll be a star in this league. Give him a couple more years in Mississauga in the Ontario Hockey League. You know, he put up some really nice numbers this year, Adam. I thought it was a solid pick here by the Stars. And overall, they want to just add to that depth they have on D. You know, they have Amir Heiskanen in there, one of the best rookie defensemen last season. You keep adding to that pipeline of prospects along the blue line, it's only going to help your organization down the road.
Well, they need a defenseman, right? They've drafted one each in the last 3 years. So they need to add defensemen to the pipeline. So they added three with their four picks. Thomas Harley was the best defenseman on the board at that spot. So, yeah, it's a smart selection. It was an easy selection to make just because of all the things he brings to the table. So now number 19, the Ottawa Senators, speaking of defensemen, Lassie Thompson. A little bit of a surprise to go with this spot, but look, they need young defensemen. They've done nicely with Thomas Chabot and Eric Brandstrom, who they got from Vegas in the Mark Stone trade. So there's building blocks there. Lassie Thompson comes over from Finland, plays in Cologne in the Western League. Really smooth adaptation to the smaller ice. I talked to a scout who said they think he's the kind of guy who will do well on the smaller ice over the long term. So I think that's a good pick for them. And I also like the goalie they got in the second round, Matt Sogard. 6'7", 6'8". Needs to put on a little bit of weight just to kind of fill out the body a little bit. But after Spencer Knight, Sogard was number two on Central Scouting's list. He's a guy with a world of potential. And I think if you're looking to project, that's a guy who could eventually be a number one goalie.
Yeah. Their second round pick, number 32. I just, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. They selected Shane Pinto from Tri-City United States Hockey League. I'm curious to see who maybe has the better NHL career, right? Bobby Brink or Shane Pinto, because Ottawa did pass on Bobby Brink. I think the world of Bobby Brink. We'll see what Pinto can do here, but he did perform well in the USHL this year, 59 points, including 28 goals for Tri-City. So Ottawa saw something in him they certainly liked. Ottawa only had three picks in this draft, so I thought they made the most of it, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to number 20, the Winnipeg Jets. This pick ping-ponged back and forth between the Jets and the Rangers in the Kevin Hayes trade, but they get the pick back. Ville Heinola, defenseman from Lukko in Finland. Again, defenseman was a need for in the pipeline. Heinola is a guy who's playing against men, had a nice season in Liga, played World Juniors, did well. He's a guy that eventually, you know, you hope that he can be a contributing guy, a two-way defenseman, skates well, good offensive game, got to get stronger to handle NHL-sized power forwards. But, you know, certainly the foundation is in place to have a really nice player.
I remember Goran Stube, when he was on our NHL draft class, he told us he plays a simple game, makes very few mistakes, likes to join the rush, a real good puck handler and passer. I like their second-round pick, number 51, Simon Lundmark. Big defenseman, highly skilled, good passer, excellent vision, smart player. It never hurts to add defensemen, you know, into your pipeline, and they got two of them there right off the bat. And then Henry Nikkanen, another centerman from Jukurit in Finland, 6'4", 200 pounds, a real smart playmaking center, good passer, smooth hands, a finesse-type guy. And Harrison Blaisdell, their fifth-round pick, number 134, really a kind of a hard guy to play against, pulls his team into the battle, real good compete level. I thought Winnipeg did fairly well here, Adam, in the draft. Number 21, the Pittsburgh Penguins, Samuel Poulin from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, had a real nice season with 76 points, including 29 goals, and obviously the Penguins saw something in Poulin to take him in the first round.
Yeah, I think they're looking to get younger on the wings. They're looking to get more talented on the wings while Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin are still contributing players. Poulin's big, strong. I don't know how much more development time he's going to need because of that build that he has. He could be a guy who jumps to the NHL as a 19-year-old and is able to kind of to help out on the wings. But what I really like is their third-round pick, Nathan Legarry from Baie-Comeau in the Quebec League, 40-goal scorer this season. People want to question his skating or whatever. Just look at the shot. Look how hard it comes off his stick, how quick it comes off his stick. He can get it through traffic. He plays the point on the power play because he played one season as a defenseman. He can skate well enough. It's going to get better as he gets stronger. He's already a pretty big, strong guy, but I like that pick. I think, you know, again, we've used value pick before, but I think getting a guy like Nathan Legarry in the third round is a high-value pick.
And I know they didn't have a fourth-round pick, the Penguins, but they did have a fifth-rounder. I thought that was a good one, too. Judd Caulfield, the right wing from the National Team Development Program. I watched Judd a lot when I visited the NTTP in March, and just a strong, you know, solid player that likes to get down low. He kind of reminds me of a Pat Maroon when he plays the game. And I thought, you know, Coach John Wroblewski used him well. you know, get him in front on the power play at times. An exceptional player. He played in that bottom six type role for the NTDP, but he can also scale the lineup and what he was able to bring to the team this year, and scored 36 points, 12 goals, 24 assists. And I think for the position he plays and what he was able to bring for that program, I thought as a fifth-round pick for the Penguins, it turned out pretty well.
All right, now we're going to get to number 23 in the New York Islanders. This was the head-scratcher of the draft. Simon Holmstrom, who was number 27 on Central Scouting's final international skater ranking. Nobody really saw Simon Holmstrom coming at that spot, did they?
Not really. I mean, he has the tools to be a top nine forward, but top nine forward, we've seen it before when players picked this late in the first round do become productive bottom six forwards or top nine forwards. But he's got soft hands. Looking at some of the positives, he's got soft hands. He's got a good pace to his game when I was talking to some of the scouts after that first round. There are some injury concerns with Holmstrom, though. So that's something that the Islanders and their medical team and staff kind of looked into and said, we're not really concerned about that. So, I mean, there is a chance here for Simon Holmstrom, you know, once he goes through another 2-3 years of development in Sweden, that he's able to become an effective prospect. But, yeah, it was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. All right, so moving ahead, number 24, the Nashville Predators. Philip Tomasino, center from Niagara, a team that looking for number one center, looking for to find a quote-unquote franchise center. Ryan Johansson's their number one center right now, but, you know, you look to add there. Tomasino's a guy who skates well, offensively gifted, up and down the ice. I think getting him at number 24, he's a guy who was kind of in that murky middle. He could have gone anywhere from 10 to 25, 26, 27, anywhere in that range. So getting him at 24 is a good pick for them.
No doubt about it. I like Tomasino a lot. He could be a real good goal scorer. He shows hints of driving play at an impressive level. And the other pick that I really like by Nashville was Igor Afanasyev. For the United States Hockey League, he went kind of mid draft here for them. Could be a big contributor. I think he's going to play in the Ontario Hockey League with Windsor next year. I think that'll bode him well. He'll play a lot of games. He'll get a lot of ice time. He'll see some time on the power play. And I like that pick of Igor Afanasyev.
Yeah, I'm a big Afanasyev fan. Actually, if I'm gonna brag about number 10, I guess I should take a mea culpa here. And I thought this would be the spot Afanasyev would go in the first round. But I had the right team,
yeah.
So I'll take that one.
The Washington Capitals. I mean, here's a team, Adam, that only had four picks in the draft. And this just goes to show you that you don't need a lot of picks to have an effective draft. And I thought the Washington Capitals hit it out of the park. Four picks, their first, number 25 overall, Connor McMichael, an opportunistic guy. He earned his ice time this year. Didn't get a ton of power play minutes, but he's a guy you don't like to play against. Real mature. He's got that shoot-first mentality about him. He can go east-west, has some deception in his game. The second-round pick, number 56, Brett Leason. I mean, Leason was a guy that was passed over, and we spoke highly of him leading up to the draft. He was passed over the previous two drafts. For him to go number 56, I thought was big for the Capitals. His speed, I know his skating was an issue, but he picked up his speed and quickness, I thought, this year. Big guy with good hands, good size, reach. It's got that combination. So I like what the Capitals were able to do in this draft.
Yeah, I like Lee. I'm a big Leason fan. And he's a kid that makes me think that as good as he was, he's a guy who got a taste of it. He's going to want to do more, get better. He can play in Hershey in the American League next season. You know, they're going to lose most likely Brett Conley. You know, he's probably not going to come back. Andrei Burakovsky, question mark if he comes back. So they have holes that they can fill. Brett Leason is a guy with NHL caliber size already. If he has a good showing in training camp, there's nothing that says he can't be a guy that jumps right into the Washington Capitals lineup next season.
And then number 26, the Calgary Flames, Jacob Pelche. Obviously, he's from Moncton in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. I like the Pelche pick. Small, but his skill is off the charts. He's not going to be a Johnny Gaudreau, but I think he'll play in a top six role eventually for the Calgary Flames. I thought Dustin Wolf was a great seventh-round pick for this team, especially after the Flames lost out on the Ilya Konovalov sweepstakes there to get that goalie. So, you know, I like the pick of the seventh-round pick of Wolf. I thought a lot of scouts thought highly of him in this draft, but Pelche, I do like the pick in the first round.
That's going to be somebody's fantasy hockey name, the Ilya Konovalov sweepstakes. That's got to be somebody's fantasy
Why
hockey
not?
Name.
Do
but no, I agree. I like Dustin Wolf. Look, he spent 2 years as Carter Hart's backup in Everett. I thought he actually would go a little bit higher than this. He's a talented goalie. Obviously, he's just got to get a little bigger, a little stronger, a little more experienced. He's got a chance to be, you know, a really competent NHL guy, I think. If I'm the Calgary Flames, I'm really happy getting him in the seventh round. But moving at number 27, Tampa Bay Lightning, Nolan Foote, a familiar name to fans. He's the son of two-time Stanley Cup champion Adam Foote. I like the pick. I think he, you know, 30-goal season, playing all season with a broken left wrist. You know, he played in a lot of unfamiliar situations in Kelowna because they needed help in a lot of areas. He killed penalties. He took a lot of faceoffs, which is amazing with a guy with a broken wrist. But, you know, he had a really, really good year. I'm curious to see. You know, I had asked him at the combine, what do you think you could have done if you were healthy all season? If you had two usable hands, you know, figure he scored 35 goals with a broken wrist. 40, 45 goals. I think he's got first-round talent. I don't know if a lot of people expected him to go in the first round, but look, he's got the head for the game. His brother's in Tampa, which makes it even more fun for him. I thought it was a really, you know, you were wondering what Tampa would do as their first draft without really Steve Yzerman in charge, but Al Murray, their director of amateur scouting, is still there, arguably the best in the business. So if he thinks Nolan Foote is going to be the guy, I think that's a really, really good pick for them.
You said it all there, Adam. You know, just to touch on Foote, I mean, a real good size, plays with a blend of skill, has that power to his game. I think, you know, watching video, I thought his wrist shot was excellent, has a real good release. Overall, you know, a good draft to get Foote here by the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it never hurts to get big skilled forwards into your lineup.
All right, number 28, Carolina Hurricanes. 12 picks. They led the league in with the most picks. They had made a couple of trades to stock up and fill their pipeline. Ryan Suzuki was their first round pick at number 28, a guy maybe with the best hockey IQ in the draft. Teams really were enamored with that part of his game, the way he thinks the game, his vision, the way he sees things and processes things. Then you add in the offensive skill. He's more of a playmaker than his brother, who's more of a goal scorer. But I think getting him at 28, that's a nice pick. And I really like getting, you know, Pyotr Kochkov, the goalie, in the second round. Maybe after Spencer Knight, he's probably the best goalie on the board. But again, you're going to have some patience, wait for him to develop his game. Then eventually you'll be able to get him over to North America. But Kochkov has the look of a guy who could be a number one goalie.
Kochkov is kind of a late bloomer. No one knew about him a few years ago. He was real impressive at the World Junior Championship when I watched him there. Big guy, real solid, competes hard, real good rebound control. I like their other second-round pick, number 44 overall, Jameson Rees. A centerman, goes about 5'10", 162 pounds, smaller. But he gets to where he needs to be. He's kind of a water bug. He works his way around the ice, has real strong edges on his skates. He plays with his head up, a guy that you want in your lineup if you can get him there. I thought Patrick Poistola, their third-round pick, number 72 from Tappara, the junior league in Finland's second division, real energy player, is always involved, a real good competitor, good shot. He likes to score close to the net, good hands and nose for the net, good first-step quickness. And I thought their third-round pick, too, Adam, number 83 overall, Antti Honka, you know, offensive-type defenseman, finesse-type player. I think he was a real good value pick in the third round there for Carolina.
Yeah, Dominik Finsori, who they also took in the third round from the U.S. national team program. He's a guy, undersized defenseman, a lot of skill there, a lot of skating ability. He's a guy that can push the pace. I think he's going to be a really nice player. As long as he gets a little more physically mature, physically stronger, I think he'll be a really good player for them.
The Boston Bruins at number 30 overall, John Beecher. I don't know if it was too much of a surprise, but Beecher was a player that was kind of rising up the ranks for the National Team Development Program as the season was ongoing. They just like, you know, his hard-nosed style of play, and a player that, you know, can produce offensively as well.
Yeah, he's a guy that when you talk to a lot of those guys on the NTDP team, they were big John Beecher fans because everybody knows the Hughes and the Caulfield and the Zegers and the Boldies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and they just dominated the spotlight. But when you ask who else was a big part of what we did and the success that they had, John Beecher is one of the first names you mentioned. 6'4", close to 200 pounds, great skater. You know, obviously he's not going to get number one power play time. He's not going to get top line ice time because of who he's behind. But he's the kind of guy that when he's going to go to University of Michigan, I believe, he's going to have a top six role. He's going to be out there on the first power play right in front of the net. He's going to have all the opportunity he needs to shine. And I talked to John Wroblewski about him not long after the Bruins made that pick. And he said the one thing he needs to work on is getting to the net, being better on tips in front, just being more aggressive offensively, using that size that he has to his advantage. I think he's smart enough to do it. Look, Patrice Bergeron is a great player. He's not going to be there forever. David Krejci, same thing. You can add a 6'4", 200-pound guy to your lineup in the next 3 years. You don't get those guys a lot. And the fact that he was sitting there at number 30, people thought maybe it was a little bit of a reach. If I'm the Bruins, I'm going to be really, really happy with that pick.
Yeah, I mean, the Bruins only had two picks in the top 100. So this was always going to be a kind of a rough draft to kind of single out and kind of identify talent that they would need. But I thought that the selection here of John Beecher was really good. You know, he's got that nice skill set, fast. In short, he's like the perfect Boston Bruin forward, right? I mean, you saw in the playoffs, you know, how they were able to use some of those smaller players, but they were a big, heavy team in the playoffs, and you need big, heavy players that are going to produce when you're playing every other night in the playoffs. So not that Beecher's going to play next year, right, Adam? But
right. In
2-3 years down the road, he could be that player that kind of slips in nicely to their lineup and maybe fills a top nine role for them.
All right, so number 31 we talked about. Buffalo took Ryan Johnson. Four teams didn't have first-round picks: Columbus, Toronto, San Jose, St. Louis. Any of those, what they did lower down, any of those stand out to you? For me, I like Toronto. I like what they did getting Nick Robertson from Peterborough in the second round. Center a little bit on the smaller side, but showed good offensive production. He's a guy who's going to get better as he gets more physically developed. And Nick Abbruzzese from Chicago in the United States Hockey League led that league in scoring with 80 points. You know, look, you're trying to find talented guys. You're getting a guy in the fourth round. There's something missing from his game, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's skating, whether it's size, whatever it is. But he still had 80 points. Led his league in scoring. That says something about him. So if I'm Toronto, I maybe didn't have a lot to work with, but I'm pretty happy what I'm coming home with.
Yeah, I mean, in St. Louis in the second round at number 62 overall to get the German there, 6 foot, 190-pound Nikita Alexandrov, 61 points this year, 27 goals for Charlottetown in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. So I thought that was a real nice pick for St. Louis. Obviously, everyone had their eyes on St. Louis after winning the Stanley Cup, and who might they pick? Colton Ellis, their third-round pick at number 93, 6'1", 188 pounds. A good-looking goaltender, Adam, 2.46 goals against, a .909 save percentage. I thought he played well for Rimouski this year, so I was watching St. Louis and who they might pick, and despite the fact they didn't have a first-round selection, I thought the defending Stanley Cup champion did a nice job here.
All right, so that's going to put a bow on the 2019 NHL draft. We're going to move ahead now. Look, I know we're literally just finishing the 2019 draft. Let's start talking about the 2020 draft, which we now know is going to be at Bell Center in Montreal at the end of next June. But there's already guys that we can talk about and say, hey, keep an eye on this guy. We think he's going to go top five, number one. We already kind of have an idea who this year's Jack Hughes is going to be.
We might, Adam. Alexis Lafreniere of Rimouski in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, I think, is going to kind of headline this class. Lafreniere, a 6'1", 186-pound left wing. He was the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League's most valuable player this season. 105 points, 37 goals, and 61 regular season games. And then he topped it off with 23 points, including 9 goals in 13 playoff games this year. You know, gifted offensive guy, thinks the game very well, strong on his skates. I think he's only going to get better next year. He's got 185 points in 121 career Q games. So that says a lot about what this player is capable of doing. And real quick, we talked about the National Team Development Program, a record 17 players chosen in the 2019 draft. 8 were picked in the first round. Next year might not be that many, Adam, but there's going to be a few exceptional players, you know, that Coach Seth Appert, who will coach the U18 team, told me about. You know, defenseman Jake Sanderson, Brock Faber, Tyler Cleven. There are forwards Ty Smilanic and Dylan Peterson, all high potential first round picks. It'll be interesting to see how they do this season with the U18s. They're all big players too, Adam. There was some, you know, we had a few smaller size players in stature for the NTDB this year, but this team coming up to the U18s from the U17s, big players, you know, Jake Sanderson, the defenseman, 6'2", 170. Faber, who has been compared to a Charlie McAvoy by Seth, 6', 188. Tyler Cleven, 6'4", 190. And these four forwards, Smilanic, 6'1", 167, and Peterson, 6'4", 185. So you got a team here that's going to be real big players, sized players. And what Seth told me was, whereas this year you saw a lot of the NTT players going in from the 1 to 15 range, he said next year expect maybe players to be starting selected between 15 and 35. So there's the difference.
The guy I'm looking forward to seeing is Lucas Raymond. Played with Frölunda in the Swedish League this season. Had a really big coming out party at the World Under 18s. He had the hat trick in the gold medal game, including the overtime goal. So he's a guy that definitely we're going to want to watch. And we'll get a chance to see them at the upcoming World Junior Summer Showcase in July in Plymouth, Michigan.
Yep. And the one goalie that I want to make mention of this draft, the Russian goalie, Yaroslav Askarov from SKA 1946 St. Petersburg in Russia's minor league. Goes about 6'3", 163, a 2.31 goals against, a 916 save percentage in six games to help Russia to that second-place finish at the World Under-18 Championship. So I think Askarov is a goalie that's going to be high on everyone's radar.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see. I'm sure we'll see Askarov at the World Junior Championship. That's in the winter. But before we get to that, we will have the World Junior Summer Showcase coming up here at the end of July. Lafreniere will be there. Lucas Raymond will be there. Other top guys from the 2020 NHL draft will be there. And we'll be there just to sort of start cataloging it and talking to all the players and all the prospects.
Jack Hughes won't be there.
No, Jack Hughes will have other plans, as will Capo Caco. And I should say the United States, Canada, Finland, and Sweden will be there. But no, Jack Hughes will not be there. He'll have other duties, as will Capo Caco. I don't think we're going to see them. Certainly not going to see them in Michigan, and I don't think we're going to see them at the World Junior Championship.
But we will enjoy watching them in the NHL.
Absolutely, and that's where we want to see them. That'll do it. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to NHL Draft Class presented by Adidas for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us at NHL.com/podcasts. And a reminder to check out NHL Executive Suite, NHL Fantasy on Ice, The Great One-on-One from Mike Morial.
Gearing up for 2020, Adam.
Yes, I'm Adam Kimmelman. Thank you for joining us on this ride as we've gone through the 2019 draft. Thank you for listening. We're going to have more for you as we get forward to the 2020 draft. Until next time, we'll be back probably sometime in August. Thank you for listening to NHL Draft Class presented by Adidas. You are dismissed.